Good evening, everybody.
Good.
Parashat Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei aviv be'eretz Kanaan. The first interesting point is that the parasha starts Vayeshev, which means like Yaakov sat down, and the Midrash says that because he sat down, all the problems with Joseph happened. It's not so easy to understand because if we go to the last parasha, it's written
he's through it in the last parasha.
No, not the end of the parasha.
So he's in Canaan.
In Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph.
Perek
Lamed Hei, in Parashat Vayishlach. Buch ato Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'akol nia
bidvaro.
Amen. Amen.
Got it? Lamed Hei Aleph. It's written, Vayomer Elokim el Yaakov, Kum ale bet el, Veshev sham, Vaaseh sham mizbeach, La'el hanira elecha. Yaakov Avinu is coming back, and he doesn't bring any sacrifice. So God is telling him, well, what's happening? Go now and bring a sacrifice.
Yeah.
I saved you. I brought you all this way. You're here back. And you're doing nothing? Not saying thank you to God? We're not going to go to the reason why Yaakov didn't really on the spot do it, because it really looks very strange that God has to tell him, say thank you. But it's a very, very interesting point here. God is really telling him, Veshev sham,
stay there.
Sit there, dwell there, and then Aseh sham Mizbeach. Which is not exactly the right order. If he's late giving a sacrifice, so first, what should he do? Bring a sacrifice. And then sit down. No, tells him, sit down, and then build the altar and bring a sacrifice.
So this is the
Geshe. And this is Shev. Yeah. Shev. He's telling him to sit. And here, Vayeshev Yaakov, he's doing what God told him to do. And what's happening? All the tzuras started.
Yeah.
So what's going on here? God himself tells him to sit down. And when he does it, all the problems start. It's very interesting because Yaakov is also called Ishtam Yoshev O'alim. Sits in the tents. Again sitting. Is it good or bad? We all think it's good. He sits and learns Torah. So, what's wrong here? The point is, there is sitting. In other words, when you sit and you think your job is finished, you have a problem. Your job is not finished. When you're in this world, the job goes on and on and on till you finish this world. It's what we call, and the Zohar, they call it Atikun HaSofi. The Atikun HaSofi is when everything is fixed. And that is only going to happen when the Geula comes. Till then, we have a job to do. Nevertheless, says the Midrash, Lo dayam letzadikim scharam ba'olam haba rotzim leishev b'shalva ba'olam hazeh. Not enough the reward that is waiting for them in the next world, they want to sit here and enjoy? No. Here, this world, it's a time to work. So what is all the other lashevet? It's all sitting, what was he being told last parsha? Sit and then build the altar. Or he is called Yaakov Yoshev Alim. And by the way, from this sit and then build the altar, we learn a very important halacha. And our sages used to do a word like this. When you come to daven to God, you don't come and just daven. First of all, you sit down, and 1 hour you prepare yourself for davening. And by the way, davening tefillah is always 18. That's tefillah. So, who is doing it today? I don't think that a lot do this. But what's the idea behind it? The idea is very simple. When you come to daven to talk to God, when you bring a sacrifice to God, it has to be with all your heart without any strange thoughts. You're thinking only about God, God and you. But when you come from the street, with all the things and all the ideas and all the problems, it's very hard to contact God himself without any other thoughts. So what do?
He sits in
God is tell, God tells him, Sev, before you bring your sacrifice, sit down, calm down, take your mind off all the stupid things outside and think only about what you're going to do now. You're going to bring a sacrifice to God. So sitting with this meaning is very important.
Preparing.
But sitting and thinking that I finished my job, it's like, let's say you davened, you pray, and then you go and, okay, I prayed, I can do now what I want. No, it doesn't work like this. If the sitting has a meaning of preparing myself to what's going to go, what's ahead of me, and to prepare myself to worship God in the best way, that's the best thing you can do. And you should do it every time. And believe me, we all know how it goes. When you come and you're rushing, if it's to shul to do something, or if it's any other mitzvah, you don't do the mitzvah the same when you come down and do it properly. It's always, by the way, in life, when you do something, it's not the same when you do it with thinking.
In preparation.
Exactly. So you have to prepare yourself. First of all, calm down, and then light the candles of Hanukkah. Then do the mitzvah.
Or Shabbat.
Or daven.
Every morning, not thinking in the what the a lot of things that you have to do.
No, somebody told me that. By the way, Talmid Chacham told me once. I was going to Chaim Kanievsky, and he was on the people around this. When they were talking, he told me, you know, I find it very hard lately to daven. I was in Shmoneh Esrei, so I start Shmoneh Esrei, and then I find myself walking in the market. What I have to buy? I have to buy this.
What do I have to do today? Yes, I do my own man.
So we see that it's a very clever idea. If we want to do things properly, first of all, calm down, clean your mind, and then do it. And here, what was the problem? The problem is, Yaakov Avinu was, and we talked about it quite a few times lately, he thought he finished with the education. You know, he gave everything he could to his children, and now they are perfect. He can now sit down and learn Torah, because Lashevet with Yaakov is what? Ishtam Yoshevu Alim. He sits and dwells in the tents of Torah. He's sitting and learning Torah. He's not sitting on the sea, on the beach, with a glass of wine in his hand and a cigar in the other hand. No. He's going to learn Torah. But God is telling him, you're wrong. You can sit and learn Torah, of course, it's a very good thing, but don't forget for a minute that you have children. You have a job and you have children to educate. But I educated them. Okay, you think you gave them the best education? Let's see what's happening now. And what is happening is unbelievable. All his sons suddenly looked like they came from the worst place in the world. They want to kill their brother, their own brother.
Jealous.
How can this be? So, did he finish his job or not?
No.
Nevertheless, when he realizes what's happening, he's so afraid that when it gets to the point that he knows exactly what's the situation with Joseph and the brothers, but he, with all of this, he sends him to his brothers in the field.
Straight.
And this is also very strange. The whole story is strange. How does he take one child and gives him more than the others? But in a minute, we'll understand what's going on here. But before this, let's see what's happening with Joseph going to the place which he supposedly had to find his brother, which they're not there, then he goes to the other place. And then the brothers, they want to kill him.
They plan to kill
him. And we can also see when he tells them his dreams, they hate him and they don't want to talk with him.
Yeah. Well, they resent him.
They're jealous
because how did his father show such
So in other words, yes.
Open favoritism.
Yes, so we see that not only he didn't finish his job, he failed his job. If you think about it, he's favoring one more than the others, and the others want to kill this one, and all this is happening because he maybe didn't get a good education. Mm-hmm. And before we go on and understand what's going on here, and what did really Yaakov do, and why did the brother hate their own brother, and we're talking not about just brothers, we're talking about the 12 tribes. We're talking about Tzaddikim. They wanted to kill the brother. So what did they see to try and kill their brother, and what did Yaakov see to take one of the brothers and show him, let's say, favor? Not only this, it's written that Ele Toldot Yaakov Yosef. Yosef is connected to the name of Yaakov.
Yaakov Yosef.
Now, what's happening here, first of all, from the point of view of the brothers, what do the brother know was happening till now? Till now, it starts with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu passes it to one son.
Yitzchak.
One son. All the others?
Yeah.
Out. Then, it passes from Yitzchak also to one son, to Yaakov. So what's going to happen now? The same story. Who is it going to be?
Yosef.
Well, they see that he's taking Yosef aside.
But why Yosef? Why not the first?
Why not Reuben?
Reuben.
Because Yosef was the son of Rachel.
So we see here, this looks like a telenovela. What's going on here? Like, he's really favoring one of the sons, and not only, it's not the oldest, it's
and
not...
one of the wives.
So,
and what's strange, last week you talk about Yaakov, he's a big figure, and suddenly...
Titene met Yaakov?
Yeah, and suddenly...
Suddenly this happens, so the brother think that Joseph, this arrogant guy, that thinks that he can rule over everything, and he is really playing with his father, the same way as Esau did. And what Yaakov had to do then, in order to take what it is really is, he had to, in a certain way, to lie, to do all those tricks in order to get the blessing, in order to get what he supposedly has to get anyway, because he is the white guy and not Esau. So now, what do they have to do? The same. They have to try and get rid of this Joseph. So they take a din rodef on him. Because if he gets the job, if he is the one who's going to lead, it's going to be the end of it. Because he is not suitable. It's not that they just look at him as an arrogant guy. He is not suitable to be a leader. And by the way, eventually who is the leader?
Yehuda,
not Yosef. So there are very interesting things happening here.
But where was God in the
God wanted it to happen because Joseph had to get down to Egypt in order for everything going on.
Yeah.
But that's not only where is God, it's what do we learn from this story. So first of all, now we understand the point of view of the brothers, which is really a good point of view.
He believed in God, and yet they had this evil...
Not evil, that was they thought
it was the right thing to do.
The right thing to do.
They were not suitable to get he was a leader in Egypt.
Because Joseph is Yosef HaTzadik. We know the story. But the brothers didn't know. The brothers saw in front of their eyes an arrogant, beautiful kid that thinks that he is on top of everybody. And he runs to his father and tells him about them. And his father loves him more than them, takes him apart. What makes him to be the leader? On the contrary, he's not suitable at all. It's going to be the end of the belief in God if this guy is going to get it. So what do we have to do?
Kill him.
Kill him.
He's not going to be able to kill him.
No.
So let's understand. Yes.
Like Rabbi.
Rivka thought the same thing about Yaakov and Esau.
Yeah.
But she didn't think to kill Esau. So here the brothers could also not think about killing.
Yeah, but here there is no Rivka.
That's true.
Okay.
Hey, there is no Rivka. That's the problem.
They didn't know.
But they
had to find a solution.
Yeah, but
what? So they sat together, and they thought, "What are we going to do with this guy?" Here, here. If you look.
No, but kill him.
In Pasuk, you see, the minute that they want to kill him is not in the beginning. In the beginning, they just don't talk with him. Mm-hmm. Because when they realize who he is, they think that they realize who he is. So they don't talk with him. They just cut him off. That's it. They don't want anything to do with you. And even when he comes and tells them the dreams, they look at it in a way he wants to rule. He wants to control on us. And that makes it even worse. So then it's all going on and he comes to the field. This guy is coming. So what is happening is, look in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yudche, Pasuk
18.
Yes, Vayiru Oto. Vayiru Oto. Merachok. Ubeterem Yikrav Alehem. And before he gets closer to them, Vayitnaklu Oto Le'amito. In other words, they didn't even let him get near them. And by the way, that's the problem here, communication. There is a lot to learn from our parsha. Because if they had good communication, which by the way, Yosef is all the time trying to. When he goes there, he knows that his brother don't like him. You know, this is Yosef that gets to be the ruler of Egypt. He's not stupid.
He's not a dummy.
He's not a dummy. And he goes there and says, Et echai anochi mevakesh. I'm looking for my brothers. I want my brothers. That's what we should do today. Even though things are going, let's say, sometimes on the wrong side. But we have to hear this pasuk in our head. Et achai anochi mevakesh. They wanted to kill him. They sold him. And all through the way, we'll see also in the other parshot, always, he still loves them, and he wants them to be, he doesn't do anything to them. And you think today, if somebody will do this to his brother, what is the brother going to do? Is he going to hug him and kiss him and provide him? He's going to kill him on the spot. You try to kill me. You hate me. But that's not Joseph.
You mean later when he was the...
When he was the ruler of Egypt, he's got all the power to finish them off.
He loved them.
And that's Joseph. So we understand that whatever we think about Joseph is wrong. Because we find out... This is one of the things in life that Rav Pinchus Zatzal writes about it all the time, that we look through the whole key. We don't look at the keyhole. We don't see the whole picture. We see only a small part of the picture. And this small part of the picture can sometimes look terrible. But when we see the whole picture, we understand what it's all about. And this is, by the way, also the problem of Yaakov here. Yaakov looks now, he's got a mission. And what is his mission? To educate Joseph and give him the right tools for what he's going to go through in life. Because Yaakov knows what the brothers don't know. That Joseph is going to be the same as him. It's why it's written, Ele toldot Yaakov, Yosef. Not the other brothers, because Yosef and Yaakov are the same. They're not only the same regarding what they're going through. Both of them, the brother wants to kill them. Both of them are getting married in the Galut. Both of them have children in the Galut.
Both of them cry a lot.
Both of them dream. Both of them are dreamers. All of this, Yaakov sees and he knows. And that's why he told Yaakov. And that's not only the only thing. Because if you think about it, Joseph was supposed to be one of the tribes. Is he?
No.
So what is he?
The sons.
He's a father.
But his sons are...
He is a father.
Yeah.
He is a father like Yaakov. And he provides them. And he looks after them like a father. So Joseph is in a different level. They don't see it. But Yaakov knows it. Yaakov knows this guy, Joseph, he has to go through hell. And I have the tools to give him in order to go through it. So he takes him apart. And he gives him special lessons. gives him all the tools. The brother don't realize it, but Yaakov knows what he has to do. Unfortunately, what is happening is that he thinks, after what's happening all around him, that he failed. Because he failed with the education, with Joseph. Because when they come to tell him, look, the clothes, look at the at his coat. An animal, a beast, eat him.
Ate him.
What? So what is he doing? He is saying an unbelievable thing. First of all, he's mourning, and he's going on mourning, and with all his children standing near him, trying to comfort him, nothing helps. And we all know that our sages say, Gezera alamet sheishtakach. If somebody dies, we forget. Not forget him, forget the pain. But if somebody didn't die, we still have the pain inside. It's like Gezera mishamayim. So Yaakov feels that Joseph is not really dead physically, but he's afraid that he is dead spiritually. And why? When they come to him and show him the code, what is he saying? In Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Hei, Vayakumu. Got it? So let's read. Vayakumu chol banav vechol benotav lenachamo vayema'en leinachem.
He couldn't be consoled.
Nothing helps. You know, he's got quite a lot of kids. And they all stand and say, okay, one kid, oh, it's terrible. But still, you have a whole family around you. Come down. No, nothing happens. Nothing helps. And then what is he saying? Vayomer, ki ered el bni avel sheola. What is he saying?
Ki ered el bni avel
sheola. What is sheola?
Sheola is to...
Sheol is hell.
The bottom,
yeah. No, sheol is hell. It's not only going to battle, it's sheol.
No, I meant the bottom.
What is sheol? Yeah, I know. What is sheol?
There is heaven, down there is hell.
Hell. Why? Why is Yaakov thinking that he's going to go to hell? Because his son died?
Yeah, he's too great more.
What is he afraid of? He is afraid that he failed with the education. And Joseph, he sees that the Midrash says, Ruach HaKodesh Nitznesabu. And he saw that he has going to be a test, a very difficult test with the wife of Potiphar. And from what he thought, Chaya Ra'a is the wife of Potiphar. She's going to kill him. Not physically.
Spiritually. Yeah, because
and by the way, it almost happened.
Yeah.
And what saved him?
Yaakov.
In other words, was he successful with education or not?
Yeah.
It was.
Of course.
But at that time, he didn't know it. And he doesn't know it till the last minute. Because when they come to him, when we see later on in the parasha, when they come to him and tell him that he is alive, Yosef Chai, Vu Moshel Bemitzrayim, and he governs all Egypt, he says, oh, Yivavu.
Yeah, worse.
He's not happy at all.
Of course.
Says, what I was afraid of happened. He is not only in Egypt, in the place of the most corrupt place in the world, and the most impure place,
he is the leader of all this.
He is the leader of all this. So it's an unbelievable thing to look at the picture the Malbim writes about, all the, like to understand what is really the Torah telling us. The Torah is telling us that good education is very important. By the way, one of the ideas of Hanukkah is education. Chinuch. Hanukkah, Chinuch. And
the story with Chana.
Yeah, and this is very important to understand, because one of the interesting points about Hanukkah is that it's the only holiday that we do lemehadrin min hamehadrin. Normally you would do what the Torah tells you to do, the law. On Pesach you eat a matzah. Some people eat matzah shmura. Some people eat made by hand. But not everybody. And Hanukkah, everybody lights candles as lemehadri min ha'me'adri, because the real halacha is ner ish u'beito, one candle for the whole house. That's the halacha. Do you know anybody that's doing it? Everybody is lighting for every day another candle, and all the people in the house, all the children, are also lighting candles. And this is lemehadri min ha'me'adri. What's the idea behind it? Because in education, if you are only kosher, your children are going to be not so kosher. Not so kosher. If you are mehadrin, your children are going to be kosher. If you are lemehadrin min ha'mehadrin, your children are going to be mehadrin. They tell about the Chafetz Chaim once he came to the mikveh, wants to go in, and he's asking the guy in charge, and it's cold winter, it's very cold, it's freezing. He's asking him, what's with the water? Are they cold? He says, no, I just now spilled a whole dude. How do you say dude? A whole...
dude. Okay, we all know what it is.
A whole dude full with hot water. So Chafetz Chaim put his leg in. Water is freezing. So you sure you did? Yes! So he goes to this dude and touches it very carefully. It's not boiling. It's hot. But not hot, but like it's a... it's not. So if you put water that's not boiling into the mikveh, which is freezing cold, what's going to happen? The water is going to get cold. And it's going to stay freezing. Maybe at a little lower level, but it's freezing. Only if you put boiling water in, the water is going to be warm. So if you want to educate your kids, you have to be boiling water. You have to be lemehadrin min ha'mehadrin. Not like Yaakov thought. Bikesh leshev b'shalva. I finished my education. No. It never finishes. You educate your kids all your life. And that's the real truth. You have to be a good sample to your kids all your life. And it doesn't stop, not even when they age of 30, 40, 50, or 60. It doesn't matter. They are still your kids, and you still have to educate them. And this is one of the big lessons we learn from Yaakov. Bikesh lishev b'shalva. What's so wrong? And really, put a lot in those kids. And going through the house of Lavan and still keeping them in the right order, it's not easy. But, so what? You are a tzaddik. You are going to build the house of Israel, the Beit HaYehudi, the Jewish home. This you have to do in the best way. And what you put into it, it's not enough. You have to go on. And by the way, this is what Yaakov is doing later on in the 17 years that he is in Egypt. All those years is giving the tools to all his great children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, giving them the tools to deal with the galut that are going to go on. What they can hold it in Egypt. And also there we see not everybody went out of Egypt. Only 20% went out of Egypt. It's not an easy job. But we have to do it. So, we see here an unbelievable picture. And what is really saving Joseph is the education of his father. He sees his father in the mirror. And you have to understand what's happening there in this episode. It's unbelievable. Because the Midrash says that he almost did it. You know, all the circumstances that were right. Was this beautiful woman, and she is really his master, and nobody is at home, nobody is going to know about it, and he can do whatever he wants. And nevertheless, his master is telling him to do it. You know, to tell a story about this guy, that he had this, I told you before also, that he had a good friend, the Paritz, the one that was in charge of the town at that time, a goy. And they used to meet here and there and speak and talk. And one day he came to him and he was eating. So he said, hey, come, join me. I said, I cannot eat this. This is pork and this. I cannot touch this. And so he eats, and at the end of the day he says, okay, at least drink wine with me. He says, no, I'm not allowed. Yainesah, I'm not allowed. He says, not allowed. Took the gun out, says, now drink. Drink. So he drinks. Pikuach nefesh. He drinks. How is the wine? He says, unbelievable. So what do you say now? So I say, why didn't you do the gun before? Why didn't you threaten me with a gun before? In the beginning of the meal.
Because the wine is wonderful.
So your master tells you, come to me, a beautiful woman, nobody at all. It's pikuach nefesh. And at a certain moment,
she could have killed him.
By the way, that's what he wanted later on.
Yeah.
But is refusing her? He's a slave. You have to understand the picture. Yeah, you're talking about slaves and masters. And at that time, you have to do like this and then and you're being killed. That's it. Finished. So he almost did it. He had to hold himself. That was to say, he hold himself. And because he held himself with his fingers, he lost 10 children. He was supposed to bring 12 children, like the 12 tribes. But when he held himself...
It's a Midrash.
That's what he... Anyway, what stopped him? When he looked above the bed was a mirror. Not a mirror like we know today, because then they used to do a coffer and shine it, and it was a... So, who did he see in the mirror?
His father.
But you see in the mirror yourself, you don't see your brother.
But he saw his father in himself.
But he looked the same as his father. Mm-hmm. So, at the end of the day, everything's got a reason. And all the things are going, and there is always a way out. Sometimes it's very hard. But Yaakov was very good with the education, because the minute he saw the picture of his father, he stopped and he ran away.
But it's also strange story.
He ended up in jail, but also, that gave him enough.
I want to ask you a very simple question.
Part of the plan.
Do you think, in Egypt, when a man is being killed for almost being killed for a fly in the wine, or something wrong with the bread, and even if he's a master, a lord in Egypt, what do you think they would do with a slave that wants to go, tries to rape his master's wife? What would they do with him?
Kill him.
Kiss him? Kill him on the spot. What is he doing?
They put him in prison.
Putting him in prison. Is this crazy? It's not why. Because he didn't believe his wife. Because when you look at the parsha, you see that wherever Joseph touches, success. So he knows this guy, God is with him. And my wife is lying. By the way, the priest... They helped him because they checked the coat and they realized that the coat is torn in the wrong side. Now, if he was trying to rape her, so he came on her, so it had to be torn from the face. Not from the back. But he was torn in the back when he was running away.
Or she tried to grab her.
She grabbed him.
Exactly. So who was here to blame? She, and not him. So they didn't do anything about it, but at least they didn't kill Joseph, put him in jail. And by the way, that's why they didn't have to bring taxes. When Joseph put taxes on all Egypt, he let the priest, they didn't have to pay taxes, because they helped him then.
God.
But it's strange also why, because it was not the first time he looked in the mirror to see his face, because he always used to come.
Yeah, but then he was looking for himself.
He knew that he is like his father.
But when he looked, in order to make himself nice, he didn't see his father. He saw himself.
Right.
But when he was in front of doing a crime, he saw his father. He then realizes, I look like my father, so this is my father looking at me. What am I doing?
Midrash, what is the problem to putting it?
Not putting, like he was holding himself.
Yeah, but why?
He was tempted, and he stopped himself with his hands.
No, this is good, not bad. So why he lose this?
Because he wanted to do it.
His intention.
He had to stop himself, but he wanted to do it.
So it was good, the fingers to stop him.
You're talking about Yosef Atzadi. You're not talking about just another guy. If we would have done it, we would get a prize. But the thing is, why did he hold his hand?
To control himself.
Which means that he wanted to do it.
He wanted. This is the point.
That's the point that he wanted to do it.
But the best thing is to control yourself, yes? But the best thing is not allow the Yetzirara to come on you. It's bigger than the desire. No?
But you're talking, well, again, I'm going to... You see, when I do something, it can be, for me, a mitzvah, for somebody else a sin. For example, if I go and eat a falafel in a falafel shop and sit outside and do tilat yadayim and bench and eat it and this, I did Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. Everybody's going to go, wow, look at him, he's doing tilat yadayim, eating and then benching. Wow. But if you see the Rav Peretz sitting and eating a falafel, what would you say then? This is Kiddush Hashem? What would you say? Rav Peretz sits in the middle, sitting in the middle of the street eating? Is this a place for a Rav?
I don't know.
I'm asking you, think about it.
Of course.
Think about it. What is the problem?
You look at weddings and the things when they are important rabbi comes, and normally they don't eat anything.
Because they're not around you.
Because it's not nice. You are at a different level.
Favoritism.
No, it's not only you are at a different level. You don't eat so nice. People are going to look at you and watch you. Not always, but you have to understand it. If I, for example,
position.
If you will see somebody very important eating in the middle of the market, it doesn't add. You know, what is he doing here? He's supposed to be in this. Very very fancy restaurant. If you saw a poor guy eating in a first...
If you see the Queen of England eating a falafel in the street, you will say, wow, what beautiful. She's...
Yeah,
so or you will say, what she's doing here? Crazy?
I'd say she's one of the guys.
So the same thing with the rabbi.
I didn't want to say.
I'd say she's cool.
Because we do it. But I didn't want to say.
What?
But that's the... when you eat, it's like an animal eating in the street. Who is in the street? Animal eat in the street, not a human being. You eat at home. You don't eat in the middle of the street.
Or in a restaurant.
People do not
no, if you sit inside, it's okay. Yeah, but if you sit outside in a falafel shop, outside in the middle of the street and eating, eating is not exactly it's not suitable.
It's
pasnish. So that's exactly the thing. What is a mitzvah for one is a sin for the others. So when you're talking about Joseph, you're talking about such a high level that even a small thing is going to consider as a sin. It's not just another guy.
Nobody ever did it. But that's different than sitting at a table.
He didn't have. What did he lose? He didn't have. No, he didn't lose. He didn't have.
On the beach.
He was supposed to have 12 sons. He had only two.
Well, that's it.
And by the way, those two are a part of the tribe. Which is just showing you that the brothers were not exactly mistaken thinking that he is supposedly going to take their place. Because at the end of the day, he's not one of them. He is really the continuance of Yaakov. Really, literally. Eretodot Yaakov. Yosef. They're combined together. But only at the end of the story they realize what they did, how wrong they were. So in other words, it's in life, when you look at things, you have to look, put them in the right proportion, and also sit and think, what do I see? Do I really see the real picture? Or I only see a small point in the whole picture? And then you will look at things in a different way. The brothers, they look at Joseph, they thought, this is the end of us. But he was really the savior.
Yeah.
Then there's another interesting point. If you look at it, the whole story is very strange. Those who are supposed to love Joseph hate him. Those who are supposed to hate him love him. His brother hate him.
The Egyptian
love him.
Yeah.
Love him to a point that he becomes the king of Egypt.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. Then, another interesting point. Joseph is very successful. When is it written that he is very successful?
In the prison.
Let's find it.
No, before Mary.
No, 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 in the prison, the prison, the prison.
In the prison, because with his master also works. We make him very rich.
We have also the whole story of Reuben in the middle that is thus telling us very interesting. In the middle of the whole thing, there is the story of Reuben. The story of Yehuda, which they say the Kadosh Baruch Hu mechin trufa l'makah. Says the minute that all the problems are starting and Am Yisrael are going to be led to Egypt to be slaves, before this, God prepares the Mashiach. And from Yehuda comes the Mashiach. But we're not going to know, we haven't got time to talk about this also very interesting story. Yeah. And then... Okay. Perek Lametet, Pasuk Bet. Vayehi Hashem et Yosef, Lametet, Pasuk Bet, Pasuk Tu. Lametet.
Pasuk Bet.
What number
39? 39, 2. Vayehi Hashem et Yosef, Vayehi Ish Matzliach. And we said a few times when there is the word Ish and near it a description, it means that this guy got to the highest level at that thing. So when we talk about Joseph being Matzliach successful, he was successful. Everything he touched,
is gold.
Is gold. And when is this written? When he's being taken to be a slave. Then again, it's written when. Yes, of course. At Yosef, like he was with him, a part of him. Yes.
Why did he prosper when he was a slave?
Because everything he touched became gold. So his master gave him everything. Yeah. He was not really a slave. He was in charge of everything.
Yeah.
The only thing he didn't give him is his wife. That's what he's saying. No, that's what he's saying.
It's written.
And by the way, that's what also happened later on with the prison. In the prison also.
Yeah.
The minister of the prison, he gives him everything. Gives him the keys, everything.
Yeah.
He's in charge. Okay. He's not really a slave if you look at it. Then when he comes to Pharaoh, this slave becomes in 2 minutes... the king of Egypt. Amazing. So this one is I wish we will be successful like this. But then, the second time it's written that he's successful is in Pasuk Kav Gimel, which is in the prison. En sar bet asoar ro'e kol me'uma beyado ba'asher Hashem ito. Again, you see, Ba'asher Hashem ito, God is with him. Ve'asher u oseh Hashem matzliach. Now, if we will go on and we look what's happening with Pharaoh when Joseph becomes the king of Egypt, nothing is mentioned about him being matzliach. So what is the Torah trying to tell us? To be successful when you're on top of things, when you're on top, it's not a big deal. To be successful when you're on the bottom, when you're down, and it doesn't take you down, you're going up, you're successful, that's what is meaning of successful. Success, by the way, matzliach is litzloach michsholim. In Hebrew, matzliach is what litzloach is get over. Get over an obstacle. Litzloach michsholim. That's latzliach. Litzloach. In other words, this is the real atzlacha. Real success is when you deal with things. And when you being successful even in the worst places. That's a real success. And we end this lesson with I think every year we'll end it with the same thing. That what really put Joseph in the pit was him telling his dreams to his brother.
Mm-hmm.
What took him out of the pit? When he was listening to the dreams of others. And what put him in charge of Egypt? When he was listening to the dreams of Pharaoh. In other words, in life,
don't only tell
your dreams. Listen to the dreams of the others.
Become a listener.
Yes. Listen to the dreams of others, and this way you can come on top of like Joseph.